Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, located at 1600 South Main Street. Our congregation has had the privilege of serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. May God bless you as together we continue building on the rock.
Welcome to St. Peter's. Welcome to all our guests and visitors with us tonight. Please take a moment to fill out a visitor card. They're located in the back of your worship pews. You can put them in the offering plate later on in the service. Tonight we continue with our third week of the Advent season, as tonight we rejoice. We rejoice that our Advent King is coming. And with that, we continue with the lighting of the Advent candles, and it's responsive as it's found on page 2 of your worship bulletins. Tonight we light 3 Advent candles, remembering Jesus, the light of the world. He came to cast out the prince of darkness. We remember Jesus, who came in answer to his people's prayers. John proclaimed him the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. We hear his call to see the light. We light 3 Advent candles as a sign of our confidence and joy. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Through your word and spirit, may our souls be blessed. Please arise for the confession of our sins. We begin tonight in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This time, congregation may be seated for our scripture lessons for tonight. They begin on page 4 of your worship bulletins. Our first lesson from Malachi chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Over 4 centuries before Jesus' arrival, Malachi foretold that John the Baptist would prepare the hearts of the people for the advent of their king. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you, who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. This is the word of our Lord. Our second lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. And here the Apostle Paul gives us an inventory of the jewels that are to adorn our lives as we await the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it." This is the word of our Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Alleluia. Please arise as we join in confessing our faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. This time the congregation may be seated. For grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for tonight's sermon comes on top of page 6 of your worship bulletin from John chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied. But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. And this all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of our Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, with Christmas coming soon, the radio stations are playing more and more Christmas anthems and songs. No doubt you have probably already heard many times Andy Williams singing, "There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow." Well, because Christmas, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And in that song, he sings that it's the happiest season of all. But for 600,000 Wisconsinites, that's nearly 10% of our state's population, Christmas is not so happy a time, because they suffer from SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. It is a type of depression that comes about from a lack of sunlight. And if you live in Wisconsin, you just automatically know that by the time December comes, the sun has already left. It's dark when you get up and go to work in the morning, and it's dark when you get off of work and come home in the evening. And this seasonal affective disorder, this lack of sunlight, it can leave people feeling irritable, tired, and just downright gloomy. All right, let me see if I cannot touch this and I'll be okay. But with seasonal affective disorder, perhaps that's maybe why one of the most trendy gifts this Christmas season is the giving of light boxes. You know what those are? Well, for $116 off Amazon.com, you can buy a desktop, tabletop light box. It's like a computer monitor that glows. And it provides 10,000 lumens of lichen sunshine so that when you sit in front of it, it will boost your mood and increase your energy. And not only is it a gift, but it's also considered therapy for seasonal affective disorder from those people asking, "Where did the sun go?" John the Baptist was a man sent by God, and his mission was very simple. He was to go out and bring people to repentance so that they may see the need for the coming of the Savior and believe in him. And with so much hustle and bustle around the joy of Christmas time, even Christians, we can have a hard time focusing on our need for repentance this Christmas season. There are parades that we go and see. There are work parties that we need to attend. There are lights and decorations we need to get out. There are concerts to go to and presents to shop for, company to get ready for. Repentance is not always on the forefront of our minds. And lest we get so caught up in the earthly celebration of things that we forget the whole reason for the Christ child's appearing, then after when Christmas is all done and over with, all we're going to do is turn around and find ourselves asking, "Where did the sun go?" Christmas is all about the coming of the Son, God's Son, our Savior. It was the angels who announced to the shepherds out in the fields, "Behold to you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior." It was the angel Gabriel who announced to Mary that she would be the chosen mother of Christ, and to which Mary responded in a song of praise, singing out, "My soul rejoices in God, my Savior." The wise men who brought their precious gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh from afar and they bowed down and presented them to their newborn king, their Savior. But it was John the Baptist who came and stood among the people and preached repentance and bore witness to the fact of why all people needed this Savior. Sometimes during Christmas, people use this Christmas time as a way of making up and making amends. Mothers buy daughters, mothers buy presents for their daughters as a way of making up for harsh words that they have spoken to them throughout the past year. Fathers buy presents for their sons as a way of making up for time not spent with them. Employers buy their employees' presents as a way of making up for having treated them harshly or unfairly. Friends buy presents for friends as a way of making up for the times they have been selfish or uncaring. But this Christmas season, there is no gift, there is no present, there is nothing that we can give to our God to make up or make amends for the wrongs that we have done against Him. Likewise, we have had a whole year of speaking harsh words and treating people unfairly, being selfish and uncaring in our relationships, complaining about the blessings we don't have, and being impatient and tempered in nature. And so this Christmas season, it's not about what we can give to God. It's simply about falling to our knees in repentance, seeking the Lord's mercy and waiting for the sun to shine, waiting for the light of God's Son to come and save us from the darkness of hell. And this Christ child, this Savior, this Jesus, the Bible says that He is the true light that gives light to all men. For He would come with the light of God's grace. From that lowly stable in the town of Bethlehem would shine the light of God's purest glory in the form of His one and only Son. A son who would be born into this world, one day grow up and give His life for a world of sinners who couldn't save themselves. It was a son who would be crucified on a cross and be put to death, and through the shedding of His blood would pour out a river of forgiveness for your soul. It was a son whom the Father would one day raise from the dead and proclaim you forgiven and seal to you the certainty of eternal life. Christmas is not about the ribbons and the bows. It's not about the lights and decorations, and it's certainly not about the presents underneath the tree. But Christmas is the time that we come to understand what it means to be personally forgiven before our God and to rejoice in the salvation that the Christ child came to bring. When John the Baptist began his ministry, so many people didn't know what to make of him. The more John went out and preached, the more people listened, and the more people listened, the more the crowds came and followed him, and the more the crowds came and followed him, well then the more the Jewish religious leaders didn't know what to make of John, for he wasn't a typical priest like themselves. And so they sent word to John and asked him, "Who are you? Are you claiming to be the Christ? Are you Elijah come back from the dead? Are you a prophet of the Lord of some kind? Who are you? And if you're none of those things, by then what power or by whose authority are you out here baptizing people?" And John's answer was very simply clear and simple as he quoted Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." And here John the Baptist claimed, "No, I'm not the Christ, but the Savior, He is the one who is coming after me. A Savior that is so great, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." Now, the business of untying sandals was the role of a servant. When the master would come in from the house, when he would come into the house, it was the servant who then would set to the task of getting down on his knees and untying and taking off his master's sandals. It was a very dirty job. But with this comment, the apostle or disciple John, he was simply stating that he was only a servant of the Lord his God. For when the Son would come, when that Savior would come, he would come with the comfort of his salvation. And I think little did Mary know that when she gave birth to her firstborn son, that Christ child, that when Mary gave birth to that son and wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in that manger bed so meek and so mild, little did she know that later on in his life that he would go on to display the wonders of God on earth. By the power of the Almighty, would he one day grow up and heal the sick, make the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see. By the power of the Almighty, would he one day feed thousands, calm storms, walk on water, drive out demons, and even raise the dead. And later on, Jesus himself would even quote the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And it was the angels who at the moment of Christ's birth appeared to the shepherds and once proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." It would be those same angels who would once again shout their praises to their ascended Lord, singing, "To you all praise, honor, and glory, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every nation, tribe, people, and language." No wonder when John the Baptist one day would see Jesus coming down the road, he didn't hesitate in pointing him out and proclaiming, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This Christmas, here comes your Savior. Prepare for his coming. Rejoice in his coming. For could there be a better gift, a more perfect gift? And don't worry, this Christmas, the Son is coming. And that's true in more than one way, more than one ways. December 21st is the day of longest darkness of the year. And that after December 21st, the days start getting longer again with more hours of sunlight. And so may this Christmas, may you look forward and to rejoice in the sunlight and also in the light of God's one and only Son. And may the glory of the Christ salvation forever shine in your hearts, in your homes, and in your lives. Amen. And we also continue to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. Our address is 1600 South Main Street. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and his Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. We'll be back next week with another edition of Building on the Rock. Until then, God be with you.